Forgive me for sitting down. You know, I can't remember a time that I've ever sat down and preached. I sit down and I teach, but under the circumstances, please forgive me for this year. But I need to, you know, take this pressure off my knee. Amen. If you turn the book, your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 40, 1 and 9. Psalms 40, 1 and 9. What I want to talk to you this morning about is encourage you in the Lord. I want to encourage you in the Lord to let you know how much God loves you. Now, yes, we know God loves us because the Bible tells us so, right? But do we really know how much that He loves us, how much He cares for us? You know, I want to show you today the love of God for each and every one of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is powerful. While we were yet sinners, we were enemies of God. Jesus Christ died for you and me. How good is that? Psalms 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't know about you, but these last few days, I've never been humbled the way that I have been in these last few days. I've been humbled, you know, because, you know, I'm the pastor. I'm the one that when you call me, I'm supposed to come and, you know what I mean, and help you and do what's supposed to be, pray for you and provide for you and do all that type of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. These last few days, you know, it was just, I had no capability to do anything. And it was humbling to me. But you know what? It was a good thing. I needed that. Because sometimes I think more highly of myself than I ought. You know that? When I get a call, you know, I want to come and help you. I want to come and do what and do for you and comfort you and do all these things for you. You know, but it's not me, it's Christ in me. And that's why I tell y'all, don't lift me up. Don't put me on no pedestal. Because I'm a man just like you are. I have struggles, issues, just like you do. But I tell you, this past week, I've been humbled. I mean that. And it's been a thing whereas, you know, there was some things I had to do. You know, I don't have the luxury of just sitting. And, but for the most part, you know, I've been incapacitated and not been able to do anything. You know, couldn't even put my shoes on and socks. That's humbling for me, a man. That's for anybody. You know, and there's so many other things. You know, if I drop something on the ground, I got one of them grabby sticks, though. But then I got to hobble over and get the grabby stick and pick it up. But thank God for the grabby sticks. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought up also. Remember that. He brought you up, not pastor. Not your husband, your wife, not your mom and your daddy, but God brought you up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God did this. You understand what I'm saying? This is God who is doing this. Not me, not your own self. If you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price, that price of death that Jesus Christ paid. He said He brought me. Remember, He's the one who did this here. Then it says in verse 3, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth. I tell you, a song of humility. A song of truly knowing who I am and who God really is. Because sometimes, especially as men, you know, we got that macho thing about us. You know, We're here to protect you, to provide for you, and do all these type of things here. But you know what? It's not us. It's Christ within us. And we need to remember that, men and ladies, too. It's not us. It's Christ within us. We can do nothing without Christ. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. You know, when I couldn't put my shoes on and some other things I couldn't do, I'm thinking, Lord, Lord. But through Christ, I can do all things. It says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man or woman that maketh the Lord his trust. In order for us to trust the Lord, we have to believe in him, don't we? In order for us to believe in him, we have to have a close relationship, don't we? If you don't have a close relationship and know somebody, how are you going to put the trust in them? You know, I look at Angel and Greg here. They're married. You know, she puts her trust in her husband. He puts his trust in his wife. Why? Because they know each other. They spend time with each other. They wake up in the morning with each other. They go to bed every night with each other. And go through the day with each other. So as they get to know one another more and more and more, their trust factor goes up. And why do they trust? Because he knows that she's there for him. She knows that he's there for her. In order for us to trust God, we got to spend time with him, church. Not just part time. Now, James and Caitlin, they're getting married. At first, she was his high school sweetheart. Then she was his girlfriend. Now she's his fiance. But in a few minutes, she's getting ready to be his wife. She ain't going to be your girlfriend no more. Your high school sweetheart, your fiance. She's going to be your wife. And the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So get ready for favor, James. Get ready. Praise the Lord. Then it says, and respect not the proud, nor such that turn away. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. Many, O Lord, thy God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. We have no idea the wonderful works and what God has done for us. You have no idea what God has kept from you and kept off of you. How he has protected you and how he has provided for you in every area of your life. We need to think about that, church, because we go through our daily grind and go through our daily thing, and we don't remember or don't think about or give God the glory for the things that we have. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. We need to remember that. And remember, he's the one who brought us out of that pit, that horrible pit. He's the one to put us on that solid ground. He's the one who has us here this morning worshiping him and praising him. It's him, not us. Because nothing in us will attract us to him. Nothing in us would do that until that new birth. Until that new birth, when we get that new heart within us. And it says, blessed, O God, my God, that are the wonderful works thou hast done, and of thy thoughts which are usward. I love that. And thy thoughts which are usward. The thoughts that he has for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I have for you, good and not of evil. I have an expected end for you. I have something in store for you. Your eyes not seen it, your ears not heard, your mind is not conceived it, of the blessings I have for you and for those who love me. The key to it is, for those who love me. You know, I'm looking at the circumstances that I'm going through, you know, the pain and the swelling and all of this. And, you know, and I'm a big whiner. I ain't gonna lie. You know, I'm whining about this and whining about that and this, that and the other, you know. And I'll tell you in a minute, quit whining. God got it. God's in control of all things. You know, but I'm laying up there, boy, my knee is about that big and it's pulsating. Feel like it's pulsating. And, you know, every time I turn somewhere, you know, I get that pain hits you. But God's got it. You know, when I cry out to the Lord in the middle of the night, Lord, take this pain away from me. Let me be able to do what you've called me to do. But sometimes he said, be still, young man, and know that I'm God. I don't like being still. I don't. I ain't never been still in my life that I can think of. But sometimes, you know, we got to be still. Then it says, I will declare and speak of them that there are more than they can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings they didn't, that didn't not desire. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Sacrifice and offerings. He says, I don't desire that. You know what he desires? Obedience. He desires obedience. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There we go back again to that love. If you love me, because I love you. I love you more than you can ever think. I loved you all the way to Calvary when I sent my only begotten son to be stretched wide. That's how much I love you. That's how much I love you, that my son was stretched wide and they lifted him up. Don't ever think God don't love you. And I don't care where you might be. I don't care where you might be. You might be in the hospital. You might be in penitentiary. You might be wherever you might be. God said he'll never leave you, never forsake. He said he's going to love you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And it says, sacrifice and offer that I do not desire. My ears have been opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. So he said, all this sacrifice and all that stuff. He said, I don't desire that. What I desire is for you to love me first. To love me first. That's the first commandment, right? Love the Lord, love that Lord thy God with all thy heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all that strength. What's the second one? That you're going to love me. And I'm going to love you. Regardless of what color you are. Regardless of what side of town you come on, regardless of how much money you got in your pocket or not, we need to love one another, especially in this time that we're going through. We need love more than ever in this world. There's so much hatred and division that's going on within family members, within communities, within cities, within states, within countries. Nothing but hatred. And just horrible things that's going on between people. Then it says, I need to sit down, don't I? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me. Hear this. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Do we delight to do his will, church? What is his will? To love him first, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love one another, and to be obedient. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Nothing. But he says, I want you to work out your salvation. I want you to work out what I put in you. Not work for it. Not work for it. You can't work for it. Because that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the sacrifices and the offerings and the burnt offerings. He said, I don't desire that. I desire your obedience. And in order for you to obey me, you have to love me. You have to love me. Then it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregations. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not refrained my lips. That's why we need to testify what Jesus Christ has done for you. You need to tell people. We need to be the most joyous people in the world. Do you know that? In the midst of all this conflict that we're going through, in the midst of all this stuff that we're going through, we need to most be the most. I'm not saying happy, because happiness is on your circumstances. You know, I'm happy because I got Popeyes. I'm happy, you know what I mean? you understand what I'm saying? That I have something. But joy, Joy is when you don't have Popeyes. Joy is when the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we have joy unspeakable. Why? Because my God loves me. That's why. I don't care if nobody else loves me. My God loves me, and I know that. That's what gives me my trust, my faith, my obedience in Him. I'm not perfect. I miss the mark just like everybody else from time to time. But I love me some Jesus. I love me some Jesus. You know, I tell the guys down at the jail, I said, you know what? I said, you know, you guys who are dealing with drug addictions and things, I said, I ain't always been a pastor. I've had issues in that also, you know. I've had issues, you know what I mean, with drug abuse and other things also, you know. And I said, you know, I'm still addicted. I'm still addicted. And they look at me and they, you know what they tell me, Sean? I know you was doing something, Pastor. I thought you was doing something, Pastor. I said, no. I'm addicted, but I'm addicted to Jesus now. I'm addicted to Jesus now. I have to have some Jesus because He first loved me while I was yet a sinner. Once I really start understanding the love of God, not only have I only have just a fraction of the love of God with me, and you don't, you do either. But what I do have is real. What I do have, I will reciprocate my love for Jesus by the way I live my life, not by what I say. Because we all can say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But it's the way that we live our life that will show that we love Jesus. How are we living our life, church? Are we living it good on Sundays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays? And then when you go home, you're back in that old lifestyle, cussing people out. Mommy, telephone, who is it? Oh, he said that you owe a bill. Tell him I'm not home. Mommy said to tell you I'm not home. She's not home. So what you're doing is teaching your child a lie. And then you wonder why when they get up, why you lie? You, every time I see you, you're lying. Where'd they get it from? But I'm just, nobody in this church, nobody in here does that. So you visitors, I just want you to know, nobody in here, we don't do that. Other churches, other churches down the street over there. Oh my God. Now let's turn to Jeremiah 31. Now we heard about how much He loves it. He put a new song in it. He brought us out of the horrible pit. He took us out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. Now Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared old unto me. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, not just when you go to church, not just when you put money in the basket, but I love you with an everlasting love. This love that I have for you will last forever. Will last forever. Now, those of us with kids, you know, when our kids do things that they shouldn't be doing and we discipline them, we still love them, don't we? We don't love what they do, but we still love them. And it's the same thing with God. He's going to love us. He might not love some of the things that we do, but He loves us. And once we know that, that's when He set our feet on a solid rock, the rock of Jesus. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I got a made up mind, Lord, that I'm going to serve you. But I can only serve you through you in me, through the Holy Spirit. I can't serve you by myself. How many of us have tried to do things and serve God and do things and stop doing things over and over and over again, year after year after year, and we come up short every time? New Year's resolutions. Same thing. They might last for maybe a week or two. Then they're gone. But this is what I'm talking about, is forever. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you forever. Why? Because you first loved me. I know how much you love me with my little infinite mind. But let me tell you something, God, what I do know, I'm going to reciprocate my love to you by the way that I live my life. When people are not even watching me, I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you, Lord. Like I say, you know, we all have issues. We all stumble from time to time. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. The Lord has appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. That's what I want to talk about here today. It says, he has drawn us. He's the one who brought us out of that miry clay. He's the one who brought us out of darkness. He's the one who has us sitting in church every Sunday and worshiping and praising him and getting into his word. And being, it's him, not us. And we need to remember that. He says, I have drawn thee. The Bible says that you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's what Jesus said. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Because if I didn't choose you, you would be back out here in the streets doing all kind of sin and iniquity and everything else that you used to do. But because I love you so much, I brought you out of that darkness into my marvelous light. I've given you a new spirit within you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. That's how you can tell. That's how you can tell. Do you have a new mindset since you've been saved? A new vocabulary? A new heart for Jesus since you've been saved? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to start at verse 14. When you get to say amen. A couple more amens. For the love of Christ, here we go. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constrained. Do we understand what that word means? Constrained. You know, and another word that as you look that up, the love of Christ, it compels me. It draws me like a magnet. You know, a magnet, you put a magnet on metal and it attracts it, right? It says that the love of Christ draws me or constrains me. It compels me. When I first got saved, I knew that I knew that I knew that this was something that I've been looking for all my life. All my life I've been looking for this. But I was looking for it in the wrong places. But when the Spirit of God constrained me, compelled me that day, November the 6th, 1994. Oh, something happened to Pastor that day. Something happened that day. And I'm so thankful that it happened. I didn't realize all what was going on. But God got a hold of me. He said, you can run, young man, but you can't hide. He said, this is your day. This is your day. And y'all know my testimony. You know, I wasn't at the church to hear the preacher. I wasn't at the church to hear the worship team singing. I was at the church to get my bass player's mother off my back when we go eat at his house. You boys need to come to church. You boys need Jesus. I couldn't even eat good. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And the boys need to come to church. I said, Phil, let's go to church and get your mama off our back. And that's what we did. Little did I know that God was drawing me. Little did I know God was setting me up. He had something for me that day. And I'm so thankful that he drew me out of darkness into that marvelous light. Oh, I'm so thankful. And I know you are too. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget what God has done for me. I'll never forget that day that God gave me a new nature. Oh, and I'm not, like I said, I ain't perfect. But I love Jesus because he first loved me. Then it says, I need Scotty here. Scotty can tell me, calm down, Pastor, calm down. And he said, oh, for the love of Christ restrained me, and we constrained it up, because this judge that the one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all that they may live, should not henceforth live unto themselves. We talked about that, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Let me read that again. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. What he's saying is that we should not live the life of sin and iniquity, disobedience, and all the things that we used to do before, because he died for us. He didn't have to do it. Do you know why he died? Because he loved us. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is love. He loved us. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him so more, no more. The old man is gone. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Therefore, if... See, he's given us a free will. He's given us a free will. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And what that means is that he don't want none of us to perish. But the truth is, there are going to be some that deny him and reject him. There's going to be some that deny him and reject him. He's wanting all to come to him. Come all you who are heavy burdened and laden, and I will give you rest. You see, a lot of people won't come to him. That was me back in the day. I didn't want to come to Christ because I didn't want to stop doing what I was doing. I loved doing what I was doing. Little did I know, when I tasted of that new wine, when I tasted of the new wine of Jesus, there's nothing can compare. Nothing that can compare with Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How good is that? How good is that, once again, that it's all about Jesus redeeming us, bringing us out of that miry clay? All of us deserve one-way hell express. You know that. Every one of us. But because of the compassion, the love of Jesus, he drew us. Now, let me ask you this here. And I was trying to find a demonstration, you know, of a magnet. Now, a magnet, when you put it on metal, it attracts, right? What about if you put it on wood? What about plastic? No. Water? No. Don't attract. It's only a certain thing that will attract that to that magnet. And when the attraction, and when Jesus Christ chose us, and that he was attracting us. I thought about that this morning. The magnet of Jesus Christ, do you know it would only attract you? It won't attract animals. It won't attract the trees and the grass. It won't attract the oceans. It won't attract the stars and the moon and the sun. It only attracts us. He's created all these things, right? All these things he created, there's only one that will attract us to him, and that's Jesus. How good is that to know how special that you are? That only us, not your animals, not the sun, not the stars, not the moon, not the trees, not the grass, not the insects, nothing else but us. And you know why? Because we are created in his image and his likeness. He created the animals. He created the dust of the ground. He created the stars and the moons and all of that. He created all of that. But when he created us, he did one thing that he didn't do to none of them. He breathed the breath of life in us. That breath of life in us is what attracts. See, that's the material that's within us that attracts Jesus to us and us to Jesus. I tell you all the time, my pastor Larkins told me, you know, I don't care what a person has done, how bad they are. Look for the Jesus in a person. Always look for the Jesus in a person, because it's there somewhere. It might be buried. You know, you might got a lot of stuff that's covering it up. Hurt, pains, you know what I mean? Anger, bitterness, whatever it might be. But there's always a part of Jesus within all of us, because we are created in his image and his likeness. That's the key to that. That's the key to that. Now let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. When you get to say amen. I want to tell you who you are, just in case you might not know who you are, for those of us in Christ. A lot of times we don't know who we are in Christ. But I'm going to tell you today. But you are a chosen generation. You have been chosen. Out of all the firmaments and everything of the world, you have been chosen by God. How good is that? Now, I'm not talking about a thing about being prideful or anything like that. But God chose us out of this world unto himself. He chose us for a purpose. And he has a plan for us. It says, once again, but you are a chosen generation. And listen to this, a royal priesthood, not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. We're royalty. We're king's kids. And we need to start acting like king's kids. A holy nation. Not only we, he has chosen generation and a royal priesthood, but a holy nation. A holy nation. And a peculiar people. Some of us are more peculiar than others, aren't we? Do you know what that word peculiar means? That you are different. That you are different. I know some of y'all, you know, you have seen people and they say, boy, he's awful peculiar. But we all are peculiar people. We're a chosen generation. And it says that that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you. Here we go. Who have called you, have drawn you, compelled you, constrained you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How good is that, church? Do you see the thing of that? He is over and over and over saying, I'm drawing you. I'm bringing you. I'm constraining you. I'm compelling you. Just like the magnet with the metal. But, you know, if I had a magnet now I had it up here, and that Sister Brenda, you had a piece of metal in your hand. Okay, I got the magnet here and the metal there. Now, is the magnet going to make the metal come to me? Why? Because it's too far away. Oh, church, we all have that within us that God wants to attract. But sometimes we're too far away. We got to get close to Him. We got to get close to Him enough for that drawing to come. And when once we get to that distance where He can draw us, that's when things change in our life. That's when we start seeing things differently. We start thinking differently. We start acting differently. We start being peculiar. The chosen generation. But the enemy, he wants to come and tell you you're no good. You're never going to be no good. You know, you've done this, you've done that. You know, God's not going to love you, because that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. God loves us so much. And He loves us so much that He's drawing us. He's compelling us. He's pulling us all the time to Him and to Himself. Don't be too far away to feel that attraction. Don't be too far away to feel that attraction. You know, and the thing about it is, we want to get close to Him when we need something from Him. Has anybody has got any relatives or friends, the only time they call you is when they... Only time you hear from them. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. I ain't heard from you in a long time. I know it, Pastor. You know, praise the Lord. How you doing? Well, you know, not doing too good. Yeah. Me either. No, but anyway. So why would the Lord... Why would the Lord want to bless you when the only time you come to Him is when you want something? You know how we feel when we get them calls and when somebody come. Oh, here they come again. No, they want something. But how good is God, though? Regardless of how long it's been, He's always right there to bring us in. Regardless of what you've done in your life, He's always right there to reconcile us, to bring us into Him over and over again, and just hold us. Just hold us. We had talked about this the other day, that the presence of God, there's nothing better than the presence of God. Nothing better than the presence of God. You know, when I used to go up to the mountains to take my little sabbaticals and whatever, you know, and I'd be up there, and nobody would be up there but just me, God, and the little critters, you know, little squirrels and birds and things. And I would just enter into fellowship and communion with God. You know, it was just no distractions. No phone, because I didn't have no signal up there. Praise the Lord. Just me and God. And I say, Lord, I love this. Let me get a brown robe and some sandals, and I'm going to become a monk. Just step, me and You, Lord. How good is this? Just me and You, Lord. But the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, oh, I didn't call you to be no monk. You got to get back down to the salt mine. Come up here for a time of refreshing. Huh? Come up here, get a time for a refreshing. Absolutely. To get filled back up. Because, you know, as you pour out, you get depleted. And I've heard this so many times this past week. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not good for nobody else. I can't tell you how many of y'all done told me, I don't want to hear it no more. I don't want to hear it no more. I know that. Praise the Lord. You know, so we have to take time out. We have to take time out to know that God loves us. And that's the main thing. Once you know the love of Christ in your life, you reciprocate it. You do it. You know, with Tim and Lita. When Tim and Lita first started dating, he looked at her and he had a twinkle in his eye. And he would go around her all the time because he had an eye for her. You know what I mean? It was something about her that drew him. You understand what I'm saying? It was something about Lita that drew Tim to her. Yeah. And it was something about Tim that drew Lita to Tim. He had a good job. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking. No, but you know, he's handsome, debonair. Praise the Lord. Yeah, curly, well, anyway. So this is what I'm saying. There was an attraction that both of them had for one another. There was an attraction. Elder Paul and Betty. There was an attraction. Brother John and Sister Denise. There was an attraction. Christy and Carmen. There was an attraction. Vera. Not an attraction. No, I'm just kidding. Come here and give me a hug. Come on over. Come on. Richard ain't here, so you can come give me a hug. I love Vera. I love her to death. I do.
I love you.
Okay, you can go sit down now. See that? Y'all see what she just did? Tried to hit. Go on, sit down. Oh God. But anyway, that's what I love about our family here. We have such a strong attraction for one another. And not in the physical sense. Don't get me wrong with that. You know, last week at Bible study, we talked about, Lord, what was it? Intimacy. Thank you. Intimacy. You know, and we went around the room and we asked people, what did intimacy mean to you? We got some thoughts, too, behind it. You know, we got some worldly things too. But, you know, once again, you know, that intimacy is what we need with Jesus. We need to have an intimate relationship. You know, I tell people all the time, we're not a spiritual church, a religious church. I'm sorry. We're not a religious church. We are a church that loves one another. That's who we are. We're not religious. We have a relationship. We're a relational church. Praise the Lord. Is that the dad? Are you the dad? Well, you need to go over there with you so you can walk her down the aisle. Okay, all right. She's going to work all that out. All right. Praise the Lord. But anyway, let me finish up. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's go to, what was I at? Lord have mercy. 1 Peter 2:9. But you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should bring forth the praises of him, that you should bring forth the praises of him. Are we bringing forth his praises, church? Are we silent Christians? Just sit and be blessed and blessed and blessed, and don't be a conduit for the blessings to come and to flow through us, to let people know what God has done for us in our lives, to share with people the love of Christ. As Christ loves me, I'm going to love you. You know, it says in the book, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I'm going to say that. I'm going to tell James that here in a little bit. To love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? He sacrificed and gave everything for us. Everything. And all he asks us back is just to love him and be obedient. To obey me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than works. A lot of people think, you know what I mean, that the more I do for the church, or the more I do in the name of God, you know, that's getting me a higher position. No. He'd much rather you not do nothing and love him than think that what you're doing is making him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more or less. Nothing. Obedience. Love and obedience is what we need, church. Is to come into the thing of Jesus Christ. And let's go to Galatians. Galatians 2 and 20. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. I am crucified. Now that I am is you. When you read that goes on to you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Do you know what crucifixion means? The crucifixion does not mean that's just a piece of jewelry. Crucifixion is an instrument of death, a violent death, a long and a horrible death. That's what the crucifixion is. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Crucifixion is, it brings you to death, but he says, nevertheless, I live. But Christ liveth in me. Here we go. Nevertheless, I'm still living. I'm still breathing is what he's saying. But is Christ living within me now? It's not that old sin nature living within me. It's that not all them demons living within me. It's Christ now living within me, because I've been crucified with him. That old nature is dead, is gone. It says, yet not I, but Christ that liveth me, and the life which I now live, the Christ which I now live. Say the Christ which I now live, the life that I now live. Say now live. Now live. That means right now. That's present. The life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who has loved me and gave himself for me. Let me read that again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, that old sin nature, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't get no better than that, church. Don't get no better than that. Are you now living your life for Jesus Christ? Are you doing it now? Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. The life that I now live, are we living it for Jesus Christ? That's what we need to ask ourselves every day. Every day. Lord, the decisions I'm making, the choices that I have, am I living this to serve you, to love you? Am I doing that or am I not? And you know if you are or not. If you're out here this morning and you know that you know that you know that your now life has not been to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it was back in the day. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was, well, I'm going to live it next week. But what about now? Because all we have right now is now. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have yesterday. All we have is now. Are you living now for Jesus Christ? That's what you need to ask yourself. Let me ask you this here. You might be in a backslider. Don't know. But do you want to live your life now for Jesus Christ? That's what we need to ask ourselves. I don't know about you, but I do. I want to live my life now for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next minute, I want to live it next minute now for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on and on and on and on. But I can't do that without Christ within me. I can't do that without Him drawing me to Him. And in order for me to be drawn to Him, I have to have an intimate relationship with Him. I can't date Him. You understand? Can't date Jesus. Casual. Just on Sundays. Just on Wednesdays. No. We need to love God every day. To have an intimate relationship with Him every day. So if you're here this morning, and you know that you know that you know, that your feet have not been set on solid ground, or it has been, but you stepped off of it, and you want to get yourself back into an intimate relationship with Jesus, you can do that today. You can do it today. So is there anybody here want to get back in that intimate relationship with Jesus today? Anybody? So what you're saying is, I'm okay. That'd be one of my greatest blessings for everybody in here to be okay, to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But is that real? Is that real? Ask yourself. Am I living my life for Jesus Christ today, the way that the Word says I should live it? And if you are, praise the Lord. But if you're not, you need to acknowledge it. You need to acknowledge and say, Lord, you know how I've been living. But the key to that is, Lord, you know how I want to live. I want to live that intimate life with you. So if that's you this morning, and you want a more intimate life with Jesus, amen, brother. I'm going to ask you to come on down. I'm going to come on down and ask God, say, God, today I want to live a more intimate life with you than I did yesterday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, because we know both of these men are saved. But they're saying they want a more intimate life with Jesus. They don't want nothing to stand in the way of them serving Jesus. Because so many times we get stuff in the way. Family, jobs, even self in the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For all of y'all who have came up here today, you know, that shows me, not only shows me, it's showing God that you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed to say, I want to get closer. Truth be known, everybody needs to be up here. Truth be known. Because we all need a closer walk with Jesus. We all need a more intimate walk with Jesus. Amen. For those who are standing here, you know, I don't know, you know, what your circumstances or what's going on, or if you just want a closer walk. Some of you, you know, are doing okay. You just want a closer walk. So, Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. I thank you for those individuals that are standing up here. They're not ashamed to say we want more of you, Lord. And I know that those who are sitting down want the same thing. So, Lord, I just ask, Father God, today that we will experience a mighty move of your Spirit within our lives. That from this day, that we will have a closer walk with you. That we will have a more committed life to serve you, to love you. We will have a more life of gratitude of loving you, O Father God. So from this day on, O Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. And Lord, tomorrow when we wake up, let us have a greater desire to serve you tomorrow than we have today. And we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Tell them, come on down, Perry. All right.